Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, open your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to focus in verses 1 through 17. This is God's word. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay. If you're putting together a team, you want to know who's going to be in which role, right? Let's say we're going to have a football team. What if everybody thinks they're the quarterback? How's that going to work out? Disaster. Well, let's say we're going to have a basketball team, and everybody wants to be the center. Not going to work, will it? Well, let's say that you want to have anything where people work together. You need to know the roles. Guess what? If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to know what your role is. Okay, what's my role? Well, in this context, Jesus says, he is the vine and we are the branches. I brought my wife roses just a few days ago. One of the roses, unfortunately, when the two dozen was unwrapped, one of them was literally, the top was broken off the stem. Okay? So do you think I went ahead and just put that in with the others? No, because it couldn't live. It couldn't live. Now, the fact is, actually, all those roses are going to die. But why are they going to die? Because they've been cut. Jesus says to us that he is the vine, we are the branches, and therefore, apart from him, we can do nothing. Not we can't accomplish nearly as much. No, we're not going to produce lasting fruit, which is what God has designed us for. God created you not just to be beautiful, but to actually be productive, to be producing something that is a manifestation of the life and love of God. So God wants to live his life through us and do things that will change the world. But it's impossible for us to do what God intended for us apart from him. He doesn't pat us on the head and say, okay, go out there and change the world. He says, I will do great and mighty things through you.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, what does it look like if we abide in him? It looks like love. Jesus says, this is my command. Love one another. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. This is my command. Love one another. Well, I love Jesus, but I don't love some of the people who say that they belong to Jesus. I can relate. I can understand that. But you may be thinking about how you feel instead of understanding that love is about how you do. Okay? He's not talking about emotion. He's not talking about attraction. He's talking about laying down your life in order to meet the needs of others. Look at what Jesus says. Greater love, verse 13, has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. He laid down his life for us. What does that mean? Well, Dawson Trotman, who started the Navigators, who produced, by the way, this wonderful Bible reading plan, Dawson Trotman was out on a lake in upstate New York with some other people, and one young woman went overboard and was drowning. And Dawes jumped into the lake and held her above the water until she could be rescued. And he drowned. True story. He sacrificed his life to save the life of another person. That's love. That's love. Jesus didn't die on the cross in order to provide some historically grand gesture to show that he identifies with us in the sufferings and vicissitudes of this life. No. He died in order to take upon himself the wrath of God, which we deserved. He paid the price for our salvation. He laid down his life in order to save us. Jesus says that's what love looks like. There's no greater love than that. He has demonstrated what it's like. Now he says, I want to live my life through you. And so you won't just feel good toward other people. You will do what is needed in order to help them. And that involves sacrifice. It is costly. It does not come easily. You have to make tough choices. See, what I want to do, naturally, just the way I'm wired, I mean, you probably can't relate to this, but has anybody in here ever had a moment where you kind of felt selfish? Anybody? Some of you? Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way we're wired. If I'm going to love other people, I have to say no to those desires. I have to say no to the idea of putting myself first, giving myself the best. I get the biggest, I get the best, I get the, you know. We've got one thing that's just on the cusp of having to throw it away, and another one that's fresh and just came from the store. Which one should I take? Okay, this won't kill me. I'll have this one, and I'll give this one to the other person. Now, I'll just tell you this. The sacrifices that you and I are called to make in our culture, in our situation, really pale when compared to the sacrifices that other people around the world are having to make every day in order to meet the needs of the people around them. You and I know little of sacrifice compared to what so many down through the ages, including people in this country, have gone through before us. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. And he says it more than once in these verses that we read. Here's what I want you to do. This is my command. Love one another. Love one another. Do you remember anything that went before this? I mean, I know it's been ages since we were a couple of chapters back. But do you remember when it was Passover time? And they sit down to have a meal, and there's no slave there to wash their feet, and they've all got stinky feet. But that's a job for the lowest of the low. So Jesus did it. He was their master. He got up, he took his robe off, put a towel around his waist, and he began going from one to the next and washing their feet. And after he'd finished, he said, now, I've shown you what I want you to do. No job is too base. No job is too menial, too stinky. Martin Luther said that a Christian husband changes dirty diapers. Okay? Some of you guys think, you know, that's a woman's job. Okay? That's a parent's job is what it is. That's an adult's job. You want to be a grown-up? You want to be an adult? You want to be treated like an adult? Get ready to change dirty diapers. Okay? It isn't just changing diapers. Suppose in your generation, you young people, you're able to get a robot that'll do that. Oh, this is great now. My wife and I don't have to deal with a messy diaper anymore. We've got a robot that'll come over and change that child's diaper. Do you think that would be a good thing for your child? It would be hideous. You should not have children. People need somebody who says, I love you. I care about you. And Jesus says, you are supposed to be the channel of God's love in a world that doesn't even understand what love is. Because to the world, love is basically about getting what you want. I love pizza. I love ice cream. I love donuts. So if I love these things, I will get them for myself. The pizza isn't saying, thank you. I was afraid no one would pick me. We think of love in terms of getting what we want. I love this. I love that. And that's even the way that people in our culture and throughout history approach human relationships. I love that person. No, you don't love that person. You lust for that person. I've told you before, young ladies, there will be some guy who says to you, if you love me, you will let me do this to you. And you need to get out of the vehicle and realize that guy doesn't know what love is. You understand? Because if he loves you, he will want to preserve your purity. And guys, if you are selfish and exploitive in your relationship with young ladies, you need to know that that is not only a failure to love, it is a sin against God, and you will answer to him. Love means that I'm willing to sacrifice my desires in order to do what's best for this other person. That's what love is about. And Jesus says that kind of love only comes from God. He loves through us as we abide in him. What does it look like? It looks like love. It looks like sacrificial love. That's what God calls us to. And it is possible because of his power at work within us. But up toward the beginning of the passage, Jesus says something that a lot of people don't like to think about. He says this, if you do not abide in him, you're not going to produce fruit, and you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. Oh, I don't want that. The wrath of God, No, I do not want to end up being cut off and thrown into the fire. Good. I'm glad you don't. So, I want to abide in him and produce a lot of fruit. Good. That's the right thing to choose. But you need to also note that he says, if you produce a lot of fruit, you're going to get cut. What? Well, that's what he says. He says, you're going to get pruned. Now, I don't know if you have spent time around the garden. I don't know if you know what pruning involves. I don't know if you've ever dealt with an orchard. My father grew up spent his whole teenage years developing with his father a 40-acre citrus grove in Florida. I know a little something about pruning. I know that when my dad got the pruning saw, in this case, and cut back a tree in our front yard, we all thought that he had kind of lost his mind and just taken out his inner aggressions on that tree. It was like, you know, well, I know I've heard of pruning, but you went too far. Well, no, he didn't. He knew exactly what he was doing, and the following year, that tree was more beautiful than it ever had been because he knew how to prune it. Well, God knows how to prune his children. God knows how to prune us. And let me tell you, getting cut is no fun, okay? It's like, I've got this branch over here. It's producing a lot of fruit, and God says, yeah, that's really good. And we're like, what'd you do that for? Well, I want you to produce more fruit. That was a lot of fruit. I'm going to make you more fruitful. I'm going to cut that thing back, and I'm going to cut this back, and I'm going to cut this back. And you're going to feel kind of embarrassingly naked for a while, like you lost everything. You thought you were serving God. You thought you were doing the right thing. And God cuts all that stuff off, and it's like, what's the deal? He's got a plan. He knows what he's up to. And he is going to make you more fruitful than ever. You don't have to trust me. Trust him. He promised that's what he's going to do. So, what do I need to do? I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You get cut either way. But in one case, you get cut off and thrown in the fire. And in the other case, you get cut back and made to flourish even more. I'd rather be pruned. Amen? So, Jesus says that when we remain in him, we are remaining in his love. The whole idea of love runs all through this. You and I tend to think that if God, you know, why would he cut us like that? Because he loves us. How is that love? Because he knows what he's doing and he's going to make you more fruitful. I wish he would just let me be me, okay? Just let me do what I want to do, have it my way. That's not abiding in him at all. And if you don't abide in him, you're going to produce nothing of value. Please understand that. Jesus says, and we need to get this, apart from me, you can do nothing. He doesn't mean you can't mess up. He doesn't mean, you know, that a tree can't be blown by the wind or drop its leaves or whatever. He's saying it's not going to produce fruit. It will not produce what it's supposed to produce. You will not be who you're supposed to be and accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish, what God designed you for, unless you find your life in him. Unless you remain in his love and he remains in you. That's the only way this works. Okay, what's the main point? I mean, you know, we're almost out of time here. What's the main point? The main point is abide in Christ. That's what he tells us to do. How do we do that? By loving him and doing what he says. What does he say to do? Love one another. Love one another. Love the way that he loves us, because he loves us perfectly. You really believe that? I do. I've seen it again and again. Even in the hard times. Even when things didn't go the way I wanted. He loves you. Trust him. Abide in him. He will never fail to keep his promise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.